Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, we just come to you and thank you for your great promises. Truly, you've declared that there's nothing too hard for you. We're a people, Lord, who are dependent upon your very presence, your visitation. And so we just ask you this morning, Lord, come into this place. You've said in your word that where two or three are gathered together in your name, that you're there in the midst of them. And Father, it doesn't really have to do with how many of us are gathered here. It's whether we're gathered in your name. It's about you, Jesus. It's about your name being made big here this morning. It's about a people who will come and recognize that there is no other name under heaven whereby men can be saved but that mighty name of Jesus. We're gathered here this morning in your name. You've said that whatsoever we ask in your name that Father would do it. And so we come gathered in the name of Jesus and we ask you, Lord, to change our lives here this morning. We don't want to leave the way that we've come in. We want to be conformed into the very image of Jesus. We want to look more like you, Lord. We want to act more like you. We want to speak more like you when we leave here this morning. Father, if there's people this morning here that have never known you as Lord and Savior of their lives, we've come to gather in that name of Jesus. We've come, Father, to declare that that name alone brings eternal life to us as we recognize the free gift. You were made sin with our sin that we could be made righteous with your righteousness. What a great exchange for us this morning. There's nothing we can do in our own strength to be accepted in your presence, Almighty God. Your holiness is beyond comprehension. We have no merit before you, but Jesus came and paid the price and appeased your righteousness, and because of him we can come and call you Father this morning. And so Father, we come and ask, visit us again. Draw any that are lost to yourself. Those of us who know you, Father, change us. And for this we'll give you all the praise and all of the glory and all of the honor. Father, we say and ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's turn to 1 John this morning, and we want to continue along the lines of the study that we've been on. That really deal with the great issue of that eternal acceptance into the presence of a holy and living God. And two passages we want to look at, 1 John, and we also want to look over very quickly at Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7. And the words of Jesus spoken in this 7th chapter of Matthew, verse 21, he says, "Not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into heaven or the kingdom of God. Not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord." You know, we've talked about this now for a number of weeks as we've been looking at this study on the issue of obedience being better than sacrifice. And Jesus said, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments and they will not be grievous to you." They're not going to be difficult if we love him. And so as he's addressing the people here in this seventh chapter of Matthew, he's saying, look, there's going to be a lot of religious people. There's going to be a lot of people who recognize who I am historically. Isn't it interesting that even the religion of Islam acknowledges that Jesus was a great prophet? Isn't it funny how so many people today, though, even declare the historical existence of Jesus? His historical existence is even known by those who are his enemies. There is no historical question as to whether a man named Jesus walked the earth 2,000 years ago and proclaimed himself not only a prophet of God, but the Son of God. And that's where the issue began to cause division and strife. Many people accept Jesus as this great teacher, this great prophet. But when he declared, I and the Father are one, people begin to step back and go, wait a minute. You've gone a little far here. And Jesus made it very clear that there will be a people in those days who will acknowledge his wisdom, his philosophy, his moral teachings, but won't bow their knee to his lordship as it's manifested through a life of obedience or total surrender of ourselves to him. Jesus said, any man that would come to me, he must deny himself. Isn't that what the scripture says? Take up his cross and follow me. How difficult it is for us with all of our pride and selfishness and self-indulgences to willfully choose to subordinate to anyone, including God Almighty. And we've talked about as Christians that that spirit that's in every one of us causes trouble in our walk in the Spirit, in trying to live a holy life. Because that's still so strong in our members, we've got to be very careful that we're not partially believing the gospel, partially obeying the commandments of God, and yet setting our own standards for ourselves and our families that might be contradictory to the Word of God, but because we're being so obedient, because we're being so productive in other areas of our lives, we think that that's acceptable to God. That he'll let us reserve a little bit of wiggle room for the things we really don't want to do. That would be not only difficult for us, but very frankly, contrary to our own set of standards, requirements, and holiness that each of us have a tendency to lean toward in our daily lives. So this morning in the study, let's pick it up here and realize that this is the thing that we're addressing through this study this morning. That tendency of each one of us to want to take back certain parts of our life and yet still say, Lord, Lord. And think that somehow he's going to accept that. The scripture says you are either for me or you are against me. We live in a kingdom, the kingdom of God, a kingdom of absolutes. We live in a kingdom of absolutes, but we live in a world of relativity. We've been taught now for generations there are no absolute truths. Existential thought has dominated our higher institutions of learning. There is no truth. It's relative to the circumstances. Each one of us to establish our own truth. But the Bible says thy word is truth. Amen? Jesus said, I am the word. And so when we look at this and his response to those in this particular passage in chapter 7, he said, I want you to know something. Not everyone that calls me Lord is going to enter into heaven. Not everyone who goes to church is going to enter into heaven. Not everyone who keeps the Ten Commandments is going to enter into heaven. They're not sufficient. They're only a portion of God's purpose and will for man. He says, so it's not those that say, Lord, Lord, but look, but he that doeth the will of my Father. Not he that says, talks cheap, isn't it? Not he that says, Lord, Lord, but he that, say it, doeth. He that doeth the will of the Father. Look over at 1 John for just a moment. And is it in this epistle of 1 John in chapter 2, verse 3 says, and hereby do we know that we know him. How do you know that you know God? How do you know that you're right with God? Now we know that it starts with a heart of repentance, doesn't it? We realize we're sinners, we confess our sin, we know that there's no way in our own righteousness that we can be accepted of God, but that Jesus' righteousness appeased God and he transferred that righteousness to you and I if we would bow our knee and humbly confess him as our Lord and Savior, the sacrifice for our sins. Those that believe on him, he has the power to give eternal life. That if we would believe in our hearts and confess with our mouths that God has raised Jesus from the dead, we would be saved. And so we know that's what initiates regeneration or the new birth, and it brings us into fellowship with God. But then he goes on and says, here's how we know that we continue to know him. If we keep his commandments. He that says, I know him and keeps not his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keeps his word, in him truly is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself to walk even as he walked. What a powerful statement that the Holy Spirit's making to us here in this first epistle to John. And so he's letting us know that it's not enough then just to accept him as Lord and Savior, that there's a life of obedience that's expected to follow those that truly love him, that truly acknowledge him as indwelling and giving that daily life and power to us as we need it. This life of obedience. Galatians says it in a different way as the Spirit speaks to us, that if we walk in the Holy Spirit, if we walk under the power of the Word of God and the Spirit of God, we will then no longer be falling over into fulfilling the lust of the flesh. The Spirit-filled life is a life of obedience to the commandments of God. Too many people think that Spirit-filled living is just something that we're now having some type of spiritual guidance, and we innately know what is right and wrong. And the thing that's a problem there, and we've talked about it before, is we then begin to trust in our discernment as truth instead of truth. Because thy word is, say it, truth. And so the need then for us to constantly not go by our feelings, not go by inner witnesses of what I believe God's saying to me, but what does the word of God say? In these circumstances that I'm facing right now, what does the word of God say at this moment to me? And Jesus said to us here very clearly then, that we can call him Lord only when we live lives of subordination. We choose to rank under obedience. Stop and think about it. People don't like that word, do we? You know, when somebody tells us, listen, here's all I want you to do. Just obey what I tell you. One commandment given for children. Isn't it great? You know, God's made it easy on kids. What a great thing that the Lord has done for young people, for you teenagers that are here. God's made life so easy for you. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. Amen? It's all fixed. Just do what you're told. And everything in natural man rises up against that. Just do what you're told. You mean I don't have any say in this? No, you have no say at all. Just obey. The old chorus says, love and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to love and obey. And you're going to see here as we go on in the study how that little child's song is so accurate doctrinally. Because one of the greatest expressions of knowing the love of God is seen in obedience. And as we become obedient to the commandments of God, the greatest expression of obedience will be love. Because here's the two commandments. Scripture's clear, isn't it? The first and greatest commandment is love God with all of your heart. And the second is like unto it, love your neighbor as yourself. One of the things we want to see as we go on in the study here this morning, and we need to hear this very clearly. We've talked about partial obedience. We've been talking a lot lately about being bold in our witness and sharing the resurrection power through our testimony, through our witness, going out, laying hands upon the sick and seeing them recover, casting out devils. These are all things that Jesus told the church to do. Isn't it amazing here in 21st century American Christianity that seems so foreign to people? And it's one of the most basic commandments that Jesus gave his church. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. Make disciples. Lay hands on the sick. Cast out devils. Freely you have received, freely give. And so the Holy Spirit's been ministering these things to us, and we've been being obedient, and God has been confirming His Word, hasn't He? And we've been seeing people made whole. Miracles that we've been seeing. I was able to share with a number of people here yesterday at the car show, and people just standing amazed and going, really? And I'm like, yeah, man, it's great. Jesus has been showing up in our midst, amen? Isn't it cool to go to church when Jesus shows up? If Jesus doesn't show up, it's a waste of time, man. We could be going to the ball game or something. But where two or three are gathered in my name, I will be there. If you seriously expect me to come into your midst this morning, right now, I'll be there and I'll meet any need you have according to my riches and glory. Are we believing for Him to visit us here this morning? To change our lives? Those that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Christianity is not an intellectual endeavor. It's not about what we know about God. It's whether we know God. He's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. And He's here this morning. And He wants to challenge our hearts and our lives to make sure that we're walking in a way that's pleasing unto Him. And we saw the great tragedy last Wednesday night in the study of King Saul's life. What a disaster. Let's turn back there for just a quick minute, and hopefully we won't bog down, but if we do, so what? But in chapter 15, we want to take a look at this thing. And how many of you really, God spoke something to you Wednesday night out of this situation? Let me see your hand. Something was spoken to you specifically. Hold them up high. I want to see what we're going. Okay. I had a number of people that were sharing that really they begin to identify and see some areas in the life of Saul here that were warnings to them and convicting them of their partial obedience. And just as a summary, and you can follow down through this 15th chapter of 1 Samuel, but just in summary, we remember the story. The prophet of God spoke to King Saul and he said, "Now, I want you to destroy all of the Amalekites." Now you remember these were the people who had opposed Israel as they were coming into the promised land. Now when we read in the scripture many times of God wanting to annihilate certain groups of people, our natural tendency is kind of like, well, that's harsh. God's a God of love. He is. He's a God of love. And God so loved the world, amen? He didn't exclude anybody, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in Jesus would not perish but have eternal life. God is a God of love. But he's also a God of justice, of righteousness. And in God's love, because he loves those that keep his commandments, his love is also expressed in the preservation and protection of those that are keeping his commandments. And you'll see here in the life of Saul, and we can look over at a few other passages depending on time. We probably won't get there this morning. That God shows us in many of these old covenant encounters a new covenant principle that's too many of us in here think we live above. And I want to share it with you this morning. Listen to me. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. Amen? Nobody is stronger than leaven. Now when God speaks to his church and he says, listen, as it pertains to the world, come out from among them, 1 Corinthians says. Be separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing, and I'll receive you to myself. This coming out that God is commanding of you and I here is not partial. And we've been years and years and years identifying what the world is. And too many of us in our generation look back a few decades and we kind of even make fun of Christians from decades ago. And we'll laugh and go, ha ha, you know, they weren't illuminated like us. They were not as spiritually mature as us. They didn't have as much Bible memorized as we have. And so they lived under, you know, some of those traditions and archaic principles. I've shared with you that I myself, in a church that, you know, practiced many of these different things as a young person, the old adage that we kind of laugh at, you know, where the holiness preachers, you know, they would stand and talk about the fact that we don't smoke and we don't chew and we don't run with girls that do. And we laugh, you know, yeah, you know, and They talked about mixed bathing. I was just reading a book just yesterday, and I hadn't heard that term in a long time. And a guy the book I was reading talked about mixed bathing. I was a very young Christian and very new in the ministry. And I had a guy come up to me, an old time preacher. And he told me, he said something about Brother Scott. He said, you know, today the problem is, and he says, we're having things in the church today like mixed bathing. He said, what do you believe about mixed bathing? I'm a brand new Christian, man. I'd been just in the ministry for a little period of time, and I looked this old guy and I said, well, I don't believe in mixed bathing, man. I said, I don't think there's anything wrong with boys and girls swimming together, but mixed bathing is, you know, probably not good. Well, we were speaking two different languages. But you know, the bathing suits then didn't represent three band-aids. And what are we accepting in our churches today? And I'm not going to get off distracted on this, but the point I'm trying to make is the power of leaven. And how the moment we begin to compromise biblical holiness, the Bible says, we are not our own, we are bought with a price, the precious blood of Jesus. When you get saved, you don't belong to you anymore, you belong to Jesus. And salvation's too cheap today. Just accept Jesus. That doesn't mean accept Jesus, put him in your bag of all of your other things that you got planned for your life. You don't accept Jesus. You bow before him. You acknowledge him as King and Lord, Savior, absolute authority of your life from this day forward. Tragically, so many people think that, you know, being a Christian, I had a guy tell me that day at car show, he said, man, you know, he said, one thing I like about you guys up here. I said, what's that? He said, you know, you guys act like Christians can have fun. And I'm like, we have all kinds of fun, man. You know, are you kidding me? So in trying to find the sweet spot of life in the Spirit, of what it means to walk separate from the world. Now we all know, the Bible's not telling us that we can't have anything to do with people in the world. Those are the people we're supposed to be out loving. Even the most unlovely. The drug addicts. The homosexuals. The up and outers. Those that are covetous and living in all kinds of bondage to the things of this world. Just wanting more. And we're supposed to go out and be light to these people. The salt of the earth. Jesus loves sinners and died for them. Amen? And the fact is, we were the worst of them. Thank God for His mercy and His grace. But what He's telling us is be very careful that we don't adopt their philosophies or their ideologies, especially as it pertains to this aspect of truth. Now, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever, the scripture says. So what biblical holiness is what we're trying to arrive at. Not a contrived holiness by a certain denomination or a certain church that would tell us, well, this is right and this is wrong. And No. What's the Bible say? Amen? Let's go and understand what the Bible says to us. Well, if we're ever going to get that truth to work in us, we've got to approach the Word of God without an agenda already established of what I will and won't believe, how far I'm ready to go in that particular area. The Bible says, the Lord says, you will find me when you search for me with all of your heart. Of those that come to me, I'll turn none away, he says. Now, as it pertains to those of us that are walking in and living in the kingdom, when we're given a commandment, something even to this extreme, he said, listen, I want you to wipe all of these guys out. The reason that he was wanting them to be wiped out, we saw in Deuteronomy 5, didn't we? Look over there real quick. Keep your finger here in Samuel, but just very quickly turn back to Deuteronomy 5. No, look over, it's 7, Deuteronomy 7. Now I'm going to send you into this new land and I want you to possess it. And he said, when you encounter these people, verse 2, smite them, destroy them, make no covenant with them, show them no mercy. Don't marry them. Don't give your sons to their daughters, your daughters to their sons. Why? Verse 4. For they will turn away your sons from following me to serve other gods. Now, I can already tell that the way we've headed this morning that I'm not going to get to where I was headed. But partial obedience is an indication that we still have idols in our life. Partial obedience is the indicator that you still have idols in your life. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Amen? If you do not love me more than mothers and fathers and houses and lands and yea, your own life also, Jesus said, you are not worthy of me. What an extreme choice this is to make Jesus our Savior. Now, he also says, if you will choose me above all of these other things in life, I will give you mothers and fathers and houses and lands, even to 100-fold. But there's no place of compromise in this communion that we are being called to. No compromise with the world system. They will cause you to serve other gods. They'll destroy your children. He said, I have a good plan for your kids. I want to spare your children from all the damage that's out in the world today. I'm reading this book I was telling you about. This guy, if I read a couple of excerpts for you, you would think that it's the exact same. You'd see it was the same messages that we've been teaching for the last 10 years. And this guy's lamenting and he's saying, how can it get much worse? And he's talking about Christians being caught up in politics instead of preaching the gospel. He's talking about the sexual perversion and the rebellion and disobedience of the society that we're living in, that children are out of control and being placed into a position of idols in our society today. And he goes on and on. And he wrote it in 1952. Now, to some of you, that might seem a long time ago, but I remember it too well. No new thing under the sun, the Bible says. How are we equipping ourselves and our children to contend with this generation? And the real problem at hand is not the fact that everywhere you turn today, whether it's on a television program or a political position or whatever it is, where they're taking, you know, homosexuality and trying to shove it down our throats. This perversion in our society today, the destruction of the family structure, the rejecting of biblical distinction of authority in the church, in the home, in society. The authority today is hated and mocked. It has to be. What does the Bible say? In the last days, the Antichrist is going to come to power because of this secret power of lawlessness. We live in a lawless society. How are we to prepare ourselves to stand in this generation? By coming back under the biblical guidelines of the kingdom of God. Because, beloved, we're not of this world. Amen? Amen? We are in it, but we're not of it. We don't run our lives according to the way the world runs their lives. We don't operate our families the way the world operates their families. And yet the pressure's constantly coming down on us from all different areas. Whether it's on the job. Some of you faced it already. We're going to face it to a greater degree in just a very short period of time. Christians can't bring their Bibles to school or to pray on the school grounds, but the government is funding the teaching of Islam in our schools. You know, there's a whole lot of people in America that don't even know that's what their taxes are being used for. Don't really care, man. As long as they can get some beer and watch the ball game, things are well, man. We're not to get caught up in the political arena. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying we can't be ignorant of Satan's devices and what he's up to and the ground that he's gained in our midst and how the church is going to be the enemy before long. When we stand up and refuse to compromise Bible truth, we're going to be the troublemakers. They're not tolerant. I want you to understand one thing very clear. I am 100% not tolerant of sin. Amen. Amen? Of rebellion. Of hatred toward the Word of God. Now let's get it down to where we live here in the next couple of minutes. We'll be unplugging, but let's get it right down to where we live. Kill them all. Come out from among them and be separate, 1 Corinthians says. And how many of us, as it pertains to our daily lives, have gone beyond relating to the world as a broken, needy, lorded over by Satan? Isn't that what 2 Corinthians chapter 4 says? The God of this world? The prince of the powers of the air? People are hurting. They're broken. Fearful. In society today. They don't have the assurance of knowing that there are absolute truths. They don't have a peace like you and I have. We have a peace that passes all understanding. What the world thinks is the worst thing that could possibly happen, you know. They threaten to kill us. If you kill us, all we get to do is go home and be with Jesus, man. You've just given us a promotion. We're not worried about those things. But some of us are losing sight of the fact that we relate as salt, we relate as light. But we can't covenant with these folks. You can't get close enough to them to be leavened. How, the Bible says, can two walk together except they be agreed? I'm not talking in the slightest of being standoffish or holier than thou. We all know that. Just the opposite. Go be friendly. Be kind. But don't relate on a surface level. Share the gospel of Jesus Christ with these people that need to be set free and born again. Let them know exactly who you are. Don't try to sneak up on folks. The Bible says of those first century disciples, and they took note that they had been with Jesus. Amen? Don't apologize for being different. Boast in it. Yeah, we're different than you. Now, used to be like you. You know, we kind of like the old Hulk. You remember that old TV series, the Hulk, where he says, you wouldn't like me when I'm angry, or something like that, and then he'd turn into the Hulk. And you know, these people that look at us today, and they see us as Christians, and we try to love people, and we try to be kind to the people, and see, they don't know us before we were regenerated. We were one of you. We were on drugs and we were drunks. And we were murderers. And we could go through the list and name these things. I wish you would just stop preaching to me and just kind of become one of the boys. If I was one of the boys, I'll steal your car. Thank God that we can just come and relate to folks knowing where they've been, the bondage they're in. We don't judge anybody for where they are and the depth of their sin. But we do them a great injustice by refusing to help them understand you're sinners. Your relationship with God is broken, and God is going to have to, because of that, bring judgment upon you sometime here in the near future. Why would you allow that when He's given you the free gift of Jesus Christ to reconcile you back as family to Himself? If you're sneaking up on people with your witness, they've already leavened you. Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel. It's the power of God to salvation. Amen. Just go out there and tell people that I love them. I died for them on the cross. I bore their sins upon my body. I was judged of God and sent into the depths of hell. But the Holy Spirit raised me from the dead, victorious over sin's power, victorious over the devil. I've ascended back to the right hand of God the Father. And I'm making intercession for you. And I'm going to come and receive you again real shortly to myself. And so shall you ever be with the Lord. Hallelujah. We got a message to tell. Share it boldly. Share it in confidence. Be thankful for what God's done in each of our lives. Destroy these people. We saw that the king didn't do it. It says everything that really was worthless, he destroyed, but all the good stuff he kept back. And he spared the king's life. So they wiped pretty much everything else out. Isn't it interesting how men work, how men are respecters of persons? Except the king. You know, there's a special, you know, how you have different things that, how doctors will have this special relationship with one another and they won't be critical of one another. It appears as though kings did that too. So King Agag and King Saul, you know, we're kings. So, you know, I know what you've been through and I know what it's like to be a king, and so I'll spare you here. I know it's the people. Us leaders are pure, but the people are a real problem. So we'll wipe them out. We'll spare each other. So he spares the king, and the prophet comes, Samuel, and the king greets him with these words. Just blows your mind, doesn't it? Of how he could even begin to make this kind of a statement. But in 1 Samuel 15:13, he says, I have performed the commandment of the Lord. Now the commandment was kill everybody and everything. I've kept the commandment of the Lord. And we hear then the prophet's response, well, then how is it that I hear this bleating of sheep in my ears? Don't you know that to obey, verse 22, is better than sacrifice? Now here's where I wanted to go start this morning, verse 23. So let's all turn our clocks back an hour and we can start. I know none of you are clock watchers. Had a guy tell me years ago, he said, don't worry when the people, as you're preaching and the people are looking at their watches, don't let that bother you at all. He said, when they take them off and start banging them on the pew to see if they're working, then it's time to stop. Here's what we're going to deal with next session. Stubbornness is as idolatry. You see, the problem is not that we don't know what we're supposed to be doing. We are stubbornly digging our heels in and refusing to obey the commandments of God because we've established our own truth and our own gauge of righteousness. And we will stand and look God dead in the face like King Saul did and say, I am keeping your commandments. I'm right with you. Now here's where we have got a problem. We hear the message of the moment. Listen to me. We hear the message of the moment. We've been teaching on evangelism and witnessing and being bold in our witness. And very frankly, most of us have been doing it, praise God. Amen? But just a couple of months ago, we were teaching on the tongue and not gossiping and not speaking things that diminish others in our midst. And how can fresh water and salt water come out of the same well? And so we get over here and we're doing this and we're going, praise God. And now I'm right on point here of what God's speaking to us now. But now we're talking ugly again. And now we're not loving one another. Now we're beginning to see schisms again and little breaches in our midst. Obedience is absolute. Amen? We cannot justify disobedience over here because we're excelling in the momentary message that God is speaking to us. A little leaven will leaven the whole lump. And so as we continue on in this study, or I should say as we end up, hopefully next session we'll be pursuing another area that Father's placed upon our hearts. But we want to unhook this study out of James chapter 1. The need to continue in the Word of God, this mirror, to not forget what manner of man we are. We got to read it every day to remind us of who we are and what needs to change in our lives and how we need to be servants toward one another and prefer one another over ourselves and love one another, and that the greatest among us will be servant of all. Amen? What are the areas of my life that have greatest power over me? Those things that I have to focus on now and pull down these strongholds. Get brothers and sisters to agree with me in prayer so that we could be free. Father, we thank you this morning for your love and your mercy to us. Help us as a people not to be deceived at all in how we relate to the world system. Help us to remember that to be a friend of the world system is to be the enemy of God, the scripture says. We don't want their praises. We don't want to be accepted of them. We don't look for their approval. We look to hear someday soon from you, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the rest. It's not enough to say, Lord, Lord, you got to keep my commandments. Stop thinking the way they think. Stop loving and treasuring the things that they treasure. Stop looking for their acceptance. Seek first the kingdom and His righteousness. And all that pertains to this life will be added to us. It's Your promise, Father, and we receive it done in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Before we go this morning, turn to somebody next to you and say, obedience is better than sacrifice. Hallelujah. Go in peace. God's love go with you.